Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. This is episode 23.
Hey, welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 23. I am super pleased to welcome to the show Bree Noble. She is an entrepreneur, musician, and speaker. Bree founded Women of Substance Radio and Podcast to promote quality female artists in all genres. The podcast, a five-day-a-week show which promotes independent female artists, hit number one in New and Noteworthy for the music, arts, and society and culture categories, and the number four audio podcast on all of iTunes. She draws on her extensive experience running her own music business, both as a solo musician and as an industry professional, to train and mentor other female musicians through her Female Musician Academy. On her newest podcast, Female Entrepreneur Musician, also a number one in New and Noteworthy, she conducts interviews with successful indie female artists and industry pros that are both inspirational and informational.
So good morning. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Sure.
Tell us a story of how it is you once saw the future before you decided to begin working for yourself and branding your business and building out your podcast.
Well, I work with female artists, musicians, and back in 2000, I started listening to something called mp3.com. I don't know if you remember that, but it was a website that, and a lot of like independent artists went on there and they put up their MP3s, you know, to get listeners, and then, you know, you could sell them on there. And I was starting to make my own music at that point, and I put my music on there, and I was like amazed by the music that I found on there of independent female artists. It's like, wow, this is such good music. And so I, you know, that was where I kind of saw the future of independent music online and how there's so much out there that hasn't gotten any exposure in the past. And now there was this way to get exposure. And at the very same time, something came out called live365.com, which is an online radio platform. And I created my own little radio station to listen to at work, and I started putting all those MP3s from mp3.com on there of the female artists that I liked. And I thought, wow, this is a really cool platform too. Like, people could create their own radio station, and then other people can listen to it, and you can use that to get this music out there that's not getting airplay. So that's really where I saw the future, and I didn't even start my business until 2007. So, you know, back in 2000, I kind of saw the future, but didn't do anything about it for a while.
That's funny. So you were thinking about it, you know, and I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs and wantrepreneurs that are out there who do really think about their idea, but never take the action or that next step to really get themselves going. So what were some of the first steps that you took once you decided it was time? Okay, you know what, I just want to go for it. After you, you know, began building out the channel on 365.com, that was it, correct? Live365.com.
Right.
So what were some of the, you know, first couple of steps you took after that?
Well, you know, it was more about getting out of what I was in than getting into what I'm in. Like, I was I was working full-time as a director of finance for an opera company, and it was an extremely stressful job because as an opera company, we were always needing to raise money. The ticket sales aren't enough to keep the stuff on the stage. And so it was just being the finance director, it was really stressful. And I worked in Southern California, and driving, you know, going back and forth to work was really stressful. And I just didn't want to do that anymore. I had a child, and that stress on top of it was like, that is it. So, you know, some of the first steps I took were that the biggest thing that actually was a catalyst of it all is I walked down the street to this open house in my neighborhood. And I found out that this house was selling for like $550,000. And I had bought my house down the street for $293,000. And I was like,
wow.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. This is, you know, 2004. No idea that my house was worth this much money. And so I started like formulating this plan in my mind, like, oh my gosh, we could sell our house, we'd have all this money in the bank, and then I could use that to supplement because I'm not working, and then maybe I could start something and be home with my one-year-old. And that's kind of how the whole thing started rolling. And we ended up, you know, I ended up quitting my job, and we moved closer to my husband's work, so there's no more of this commute thing. And, you know, then as time passed, I was home for maybe a couple of years. And then I started like, oh my gosh, you know, now I've got this time and this idea that had come to me in the early 2000s that I had like started and then just like completely put on hold. It started coming back into my mind like, oh, I could totally do this now.
Was really a progression of getting out of versus getting into something. And that's a really important point, because sometimes entrepreneurial journeys begin not because you have a dream and you're really looking to follow it, but simply because you're looking to make a shift or a change in life, or, you know, just make a difference somewhere outside of actually looking at a career set. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a career-driven change in life that sometimes sparks that journey. So what did you find to be one of the more difficult parts of becoming an entrepreneur? You had the time, you had the ability. What did you feel like were some of the more difficult steps at that point?
Well, in some ways I had the time, and in some ways I didn't. And I think that was the most difficult thing, is that I had a two-year-old. Mm-hmm. And she decided that she wasn't going to nap anymore. And so, yeah, I, like, had no time to work on my business.
Don't they all?
I know. It's, my second one did the same thing, so I don't know. I was
right?
cursed.
I don't know.
It was figuring out how to, you know, find a way to get that time back. And so, you know, she was a very social girl, and she was happy to go to preschool. So we did that. She did preschool 2 days a week. And I was able to get that time to get right around that time is when I got my business started, maybe a little bit after. And then as my other daughter was born and, you know, people got older, and it got hard to find that time. But then I started incorporating assistants. Like in this last year, I actually got my mom on board as an assistant to help me with the podcast, doing my show notes and stuff, and doing my artist research, which has been awesome. And now I've got a virtual assistant, and that's really, really good. So basically the hardest thing for me has been to juggle the time between my business and all my home stuff. And so I've had to supplement in different ways with the preschool for the kids and then the, you know, getting assistance.
That's awesome. I love that you really took baby steps there. You didn't attempt to just jump in and build out a huge team. You made sure to look to the resources that you already had available to you, you know, leaning on friends and family and so forth, and then building in the manner that worked for your budget and your business on your time frame, you know, with hiring your VA. So outstanding. What do you feel like are some of the more important pieces of starting a business that someone who's looking to start a business should really begin focusing on when they're doing their research and actually looking towards finding a market and thinking about what it is they'd like to do in the future?
Well, I think the important thing is to first build a list. And, you know, you can do that by maybe becoming a blogger and writing about the subject that you're interested in and attracting people to that, maybe giving some free giveaways that you can then get people on a list. Because once you have that list, you can ask them what they want. And you can send out a survey. And that's what I did recently when I created my Female Musician Academy, is I sent out a survey to my list and I said, you know, what is your guys' biggest pain point? Or I didn't say it quite like that. I said, what are you guys struggling with in the music business? You know, what is frustrating you? What do you feel like you need help in? What areas do you feel like you don't have enough information? Mm-hmm. And I got the greatest response from that. And I knew exactly what I wanted to create then because of that, because they told me.
Right. Right. Excellent. I love that. It really boils down to listening to your audience so that you know what it is that they're looking for. Even if you find the right niche and you have some sort of idea as to what it is you want to do, you may want to reevaluate what it is that you're looking to do long term when it comes to what the feedback is, because you want to make sure that whatever it is you're looking to do or produce, your audience is actually interested in, because otherwise you're not going to have an audience.
Right. So. Yeah.
Do you feel like there is a limit to the amount of research or focus that a newbie should be doing when they're starting that research, when they're looking at their niche, you know, speaking to their audience, asking questions, looking at their feedback? That's something that you can easily get caught up in terms of research and kind of using it as, I would say in the beginning, I used market research as a way to kind of avoid really starting.
That's exactly what
really
I was going
to say. Getting out there. So, you know, so definitely go for it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens. We feel like we need to know everything before we start. And, you know, because you can never know everything, then you're never done. And so you never start, and you wonder why all these people around you are building these products and having these audiences, and you don't. So I would say, you know, sometimes you just need to go for it. Like, I was very reluctant to send out a survey because I thought, what if nobody responds to the survey, you know?
Right.
And so I was talking to some people in my mastermind, and they're like, so what if you hear crickets? Do it again, you know? Like, and it just made me feel good to think that they had done it, and maybe some of their surveys they didn't get the right response, but then the next time they did it, they did. And so I had the confidence to do it. And I got 134 responses, so I was really happy.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it definitely takes gut. You have to really put yourself out there, you know, in order to get started. You actually have to get started, and you have to get started in order to see the results or to hear that feedback so that you can make the next step, because otherwise you kind of get stuck and stagnant in that research mode. How do you feel that technology has really assisted you in streamlining the procedures for the business? Of course, it is really assisted in the launch of the podcast and being able to, you know, come up with the idea in general from the Live365 and the mp3.com. But how do you feel like it has assisted you now in streamlining your daily operational procedures?
Well, I do work with VAs, so it's amazing what you can do online. You know, we just use, you know, Dropbox or Box.net or whatever, and we're just sending files back and forth all the time. And then, like, just when I get music from artists, you know, the way I do it is I have them submit, and they can either email me their MP3s or they can put it up on Box.net, and it's just so easy. I can just grab them. Or they can submit through places like Broadjam or SonicBids or Music X-Ray. There's all these platforms that have been created for people to submit music to people like me. And it's so easy, because then I can just go grab their file from those places and, you know, get their contact information, and I don't have to be chasing them down all the time. So I don't know how I would do it. I don't think I would do this without having an online, you know, platform, because, I mean, and also, you know, I run my radio station off of a server in Boston, and the fact that I can just, you know, log into that whenever I want on my Windows machine and control things, it kind of blows my mind sometimes.
No, definitely. I think collaboration is something that is not often brought up as one of the key pieces of how technology has streamlined and given people the ability to go further and do more, because the ability to collaborate in the manner that you can now is so far from the ability that we had, say, even 10, 15 years ago.
I know, and I get some artists that are like, oh, yeah, you know, we're not a band. We're a collaboration. I'm in Ireland, and this guy's in Minnesota, and, you know, we made this song together. And I'm like, that's just cool, you know, that you can do that.
Yeah, No, definitely. What do you feel like prospective entrepreneurs should take into consideration before they really go ahead and begin their journey, before they get started?
I think that they need to, I think you need to have a runway of money, you know, or you have to have figured out a way to bootstrap it such that there'll always be enough coming in, and just know that you're not going to make money right away. I mean, like really, I have not made a ton of money on this business. I'm constantly pouring it back in because I know that it's building and building every year. And it's always been a side thing until recently. And now I want to build it to something that is full time. And the only way I can do that is to keep putting a lot of the money back in. Because then I can hire more VAs, I can scale in different ways, and that's, you just need to know that there, you're not going to be making money for a while when you start your business, and that you need to have either a certain amount of money set aside to put into it so you can get the help that you need to actually scale instead of trying to do everything yourself and just tearing your hair out and being crazy. Which I've done. I mean, recently I've definitely done that until I got my VA, and it is, oh, it is stressful. You don't want to do that if you can help it.
Right.
But
right.
So if you can have them enough money to be able to get help early on, I think that will make your journey not only easier and less stressful, but more fun. But you know, if you don't, then you need to figure out a way to have some kind of bread and butter income. And that's enough to like sustain you so you're not stressed out, and then you can build from there, because you can't just assume that huge amounts of income are going to be coming in right away.
Certainly. Making sure to create a budget and knowing what that cash flow is in a long-term picture is really important. And I think that's a hard part for entrepreneurs, because we're taught to follow our passion. You're told, you know, find something that you love and go for it. However, the hard part with that is it's a hobby, and that's how you're treating it initially. But if it's going to be a business in any way, shape, or form, it actually has to be looked at in that manner from the beginning. Once you decide you want to build a business out of it, you really need to look at the cash flow and what the financial projections are going to be in terms of being able to realistically run whatever it is.
Right. And I think, so too, like when I started Women of Substance for real in 2007, it was a hobby in that I enjoyed doing it, and it wasn't a job yet, but it also was always paying for itself. Like, I never actually started it until I knew that I had a way to break even every month, because I wasn't going to have an income sucking hobby. I was going to create something. And then once I started and knew that I could at least break even in the beginning, I knew it could eventually be a business.
Right. And that's funny that you said that, because I actually have a girlfriend of mine who is a baker, and she's been doing this for years and years, but just from home. You know what I mean? Just from home. And the other day she happened to mention to me, she has no idea, you know, how much the business is making, whether or not she puts more into it than she gets out of it. And I'm saying, holy cow, we need to talk.
Yeah.
<You know? laughs> We got to sit down. Are you kidding me? I mean, she's phenomenal at what she does, but the back end, the business side, it's just not something that certain people think about, because it's what they love. And that can be the hard part, is really taking a step back to look at the business you can work on it and not just always working in it.
Right.
So definitely. Bree, do you have a tip or a trick or a favorite application or something that you use to help keep yourself organized on a daily basis that we could help share with the audience?
I always use just a task manager, and it doesn't really matter which one, whichever one kind of fits your personality, on my phone. And I put all my tasks in there, and I go in the morning and I look and kind of see what are the three most important things that I need to do today. And not only like what are the most important things, but which one of those things is going to make me money? Because, you know, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to write my newsletter. But then I think every time I write my newsletter, once a week, I always get something. I get people submitting music. I get people wanting to do sponsorships, you know. And so I think, okay, yeah, but I need to do that because that's what brings in the money. You know, it's not the yep. funnest thing because I do it every week. And, of course, now I have an assistant that's helping me with that. But, you know, I use a task manager, and it really doesn't matter. I'm not even sure what mine is called. But it doesn't matter which one you use. I know there's one that integrates with Evernote, which a lot of people like. And if you use Evernote, that might be useful to you. I can't remember what it's called.
No worries. I will figure out what that is and link to it from the page. So no worries. Thank you. But definitely the show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up for ideas for new innovative companies to help solve the pain in an industry that they may not have thought of. And Bree, we would absolutely love to help you because, again, like I said, I thought your business was so unique to really become the hub spot for female independent artists is an awesome idea, and it's just so unique. So if you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be? And why?
This is really a silly thing, and I don't know. So I've got my Female Musician Academy, and that's been open for about a week. And
congrats!
Thank you. And it's just funny that, like, something that seems so easy to me of, like, you know, here I'm giving you this coupon because you're on my list, you know, and you can get this much off on the Academy. Go sign up. And they can't seem to figure out how to use the coupon. Like, I don't know what is the problem. Like, you know, and then they write back to me and say, I can't see the coupon code anywhere in here. I'm like, it says right here, you know. So I don't know, just a way to, like, get – and people were having a hard time signing up. And I'm using something called Fedora, which I think is amazing. And to me it makes complete sense. But the people that are trying to sign up, even though they want to sign up, are constantly, like, getting back to me with questions like, I don't understand because I clicked on this and then it said to do this and I thought I registered and I didn't, and, you know, or I don't get how to redeem the coupon, and I, like, send them a screenshot and I'm, like, point a little arrow to where it says redeem coupon, you know.
Right.
So I don't know, just somehow a way that makes it really easy for people to sign up for stuff, because I know that, you know, Fedora, they have – you need to actually create an account with them before you then enroll in the membership site. And some people think they created the account with them, they're done. And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't pay. You know, you have to do this step. And so just some way to streamline that. And I don't know what that is. And it may just be, you know, Fedora that they need to do a little work on that. But to me, it seems totally... like, it made complete sense to me, but it doesn't to a lot of people. And I don't know if it's just musicians' brains or what. I mean, I'm a musician, but I'm also a director of finance. So, you know, I had a double major in music and business. So that type of stuff makes sense to me. But maybe we should make something more visually appealing or something that's more obvious to them. I don't know what.
Right. That's excellent, Bree. I love that. We have got to find a way to streamline the sign-up process, definitely, for the new course. So I will hopefully put the audience to work on that, and we'll get back to you.
You can have them look and tell me what made them confused, because I haven't figured out what's confusing, really. I just get people that are confused. They don't really explain what the problem is, but...
Right, definitely. Guys, Bree needs feedback. We need assistance. We need to know why it is that people are having such a difficult time signing up there. So, Bree, tell us, what is the best way for our listeners to find you?
Well, they can go to femalemusicianacademy.com. That's where they can tell me if they were confused about signing up. They also can go to femusician.com. That stands for femaleentrepreneurmusician.com, and that is my podcast that's for female musicians that are trying to build their business as a musician and make more income. So if that's you and you want to get advice on that, I've got a weekly podcast with all that great information from people that are doing it, and there's also a free gift there too at femusician.com. And then if you love to listen to music by female artists, you can go to WOSradio.com. That's for Women of Substance Radio, and you can listen to the online radio station and also the podcast from there. So a lot of ways to connect with me. And also I'm all over Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, it's at Bree Noble, and Instagram, it's at Bree Noble Music.
Awesome. Well, Bree, what I will do is I will be sure to link to your Female Musician Academy page direct from our show notes page, as well as the WOS.com, so that they have both of those links direct from the homepage so everyone can reach out to you. And Bree, thank you. We truly appreciate you joining us this morning.
You are welcome.
And thank you, the Technology Equals Equality community, for hanging out with me once again this week. I truly appreciate you guys continuing to tune in. Don't forget to reach out to Bree Noble at Women of Substance Radio. If you guys know a female artist who is looking to get their name out there, get their music online, reach out to Bree, check out her info, and see if your friend can get started. She's looking to help female musicians. She has the Female Musician Academy, and I will be sure to link to that through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Bree Noble. I truly hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I did, and until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.